Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to John chapter 12. I'm finding myself increasingly overwhelmed by God's presence and power in my home, in my car, at church. He's surprising me over and over and over again, and I just love Jesus. I just love the Lord. Isn't God so great? I've got this message I've worked on. Maybe we'll get there, but let's just, come on, just thank Him. Think about where you used to come from. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you can ask or think. He has not forgotten you. You have not been abandoned. If you can hear my voice, then you're within the grasp of His great grace. You are not a child of Cain. You're a child of God. You've been adopted by the precious blood of Jesus. You've been grafted in. A wild vine you might have been, but now you're grafted in. God has an amazing plan for you. God has a hope and a future for you. He wants to raise you up to use you as a trophy of His grace. He wants to raise you up and use you to speak even to nations. He wants to use you to touch and impact the world. Don't limit God. Don't limit Him. He can do it. You might have come from the most broken family, or you might have been born with a silver spoon in your mouth. It does not matter where you've come from or whatever background. All everyone needs a Savior. And when you give your life to Jesus, He will take your life and He will make it beautiful. Though weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. You say, well, it's not morning. It's morning somewhere. Even if you're a flat earther, there's morning somewhere. Come on, someone say amen. God's able to do it for you. God's able to heal you. There's no terminal disease. Life is terminal. I mean, it does end. Uncurable, no such thing. So we've been doing this series, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. John 12. We do have notes for you, which is our custom. New King James tonight. John 12 and the 9th verse. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? John 12, verse 9, New King James, and we will read through verse 19. Are you ready? On your marks. Not that it's a race or anything, but let's go. Now a great many of the Jews knew that He was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom He raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away believing in Jesus. Notable miracles will do stuff like that. The raising of the dead has an effect. The next day, a great multitude came to the feast, and when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him and cried out, Hosanna. Let's all read this. This is Psalm 118, verse 26. Let's read it together. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when He found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about Him and that they had done these things to Him. Therefore, the people who were with Him, when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Final verse, verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Father, thank you. Move in great power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to affirm to you that we will always have Sunday night. And the reason we'll always have Sunday night is because it's important. We have a theological principle that believes that the family that worships together stays together. We do not have King's Kids on Sunday night by design. We could have it, but by design we don't. I'm so thankful for King's Kids. God's poured out his spirit this morning. And I heard on Good Report that we are receiving applications for volunteers. There's always seems to be a shortage of people that would serve. And I will say again, if you're a parent and you have kids that are part of the King's Kids, I would say you have an obligation to serve in some capacity there to help us. Now, if you're not able to because you have an FBI record or something like that, that would be a good reason. Other than that, if you're able to serve once a month, come on, anybody can do one service once a month. Anybody could do that. You missed a great place to say, amen. I heard that louder from you, Pastor Kimmy, Pastor Kirsten, anybody else. Can I get an amen? Amen? Now, some people should not be a part of and are not allowed to be a part of King's Kids, and that's by design and on purpose. But for those of you that have kids and they're in the back there and you're able to serve, would you adjust your heart, please? Because there's no way. We actually, I'm going to get to this in a second, but I got to ranting. I think it was 2 weeks ago, not this week, but last week, we had to close the King's Kids because it filled up. It went to capacity given our ratios of how many students to teachers we have, if I could say it that way, and then classrooms. We're adjusting things. Isn't that right, Pastor Kimmy? We're adjusting things because next Sunday, we will break every record we ever heard about, and we could potentially fit 400 kids on that other side if we have the workers and we adjust our space. So we're adjusting the space. I'm putting a call out for workers. And again, if you have a child, I believe you have an obligation not only to raise them, but to help in their in ministry. It would be a good thing to do. And there are reasons for not. Let's look at this text. Is that a good, strong enough advertisement? This is fascinating. Now, if you missed this morning, you need to go and get that and listen to it because it's profound. It proves divine authorship of the Scriptures. Tensions building. Right here in the notes, and we do have notes for you. Hope that you'll fill those in as we move along. Tensions building. It's the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry, and it's a real nail biter. Now, when you read the Word of God, don't just read it like it's some storybook. Imagine what it's like. Put yourself in the position of like being alive in the first century. What is it like when Jesus made a whip and went and flipped over the money changing tables? What is it like? Can you imagine what it was like to see Lazarus raised from the dead? All these people are following him. This last week of his earthly ministry, Lazarus is raised from the dead, and this miracle really stirred the nation, stirred the Jewish people. But it infuriated religious people. Gosh, I have seen that. Has anybody else seen that? Because there's a miracle. You think everybody'd be happy, and then you get people like so bent out of shape. They're bent out of shape because stuff happened on the Sabbath. What kind of spirit of stupid is that? I've seen people get upset in families when the black sheep of the family gets dipped in the blood of Jesus. It is no longer the black sheep, but is white as wool now, spotless, on fire, loving God, no longer partnering with Jack Daniels on Friday night, got rid of his best friend, Bud, dumber, and now they're in church, now they're loving God, now they're serving God, and the family's bent and bowed up like, how come you're going to that church? I can't believe you're going to. They were not falling down drunk. They were wasted. Their marriages were on the rocks. They were broken. They were filled with pain and hurt. Now they're filled with joy. And I've seen people get upset over that. Don't you know that church just wants you to tithe to them? No, that's not true. We want you to tithe and give. Can I get an amen? And that's not my idea. I didn't invent it. Somebody said, but kings, they invented tithing. No, we didn't. It's a great idea. We didn't invent it. It's in Scripture. Mary anoints Jesus with this costly perfume in John chapter 12, and it is a beautiful prophetic act of worship, preparing him for his burial. It is really a beautiful passage of Scripture. Look at verse 3. We didn't read it, but I want to read it now. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. Most likely, it was passed down from her family. We don't know for sure, but we understand that it was worth a year's wages. So, I mean, you could go to ChatGPT right now and find out what the average year's wages is in America, and you could come up with the average of what that is. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money in one single offering. Think about what you would make in a year. That's what she dumps in the offering one time. Once. Can I get a whoa? There is moments of extravagant offering and moments of extravagant worship. And she anoints the feet of Jesus. She wipes his feet with her hair. And the house is filled with the fragrance of the oil. And then, of course, here's the Judas who would betray him. He says, why is this fragrant offering? This is where Judas gets offended. Why was this offering not sold for 100 denarii and given to the poor? What a dirtbag. He said this. Look at verse 6. He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what it was put in it. So he's irritated, not about the incredible, you know, the incredible loss for the poor. He's irritated that he got doged. Come on, somebody say, yes, he did. they just figured out who was ripping off the money. Jesus knew he was ripping them off, and still he allows him to be the treasurer. It's kind of amazing. I just love this Doge thing. Oh, I don't want anybody to be hurt. Of course not. And some there's people here in the church that have been affected by the governmental cuts and all of that. Don't worry. Pray. Get the word of the Lord. Maybe God's moving you to a new business, moving you to a new thing. You're going to go from glory to glory. Say it. I'm going from glory to glory. No, I don't wish that you would lose your job. No, but somebody had to get a hold of the insanity and the fraud that was taking place in America. And this is just the stuff we like are able to hear through the fake news. My God, what's really happening? Wow. But it is this prophetic act that she anoints Jesus with this costly perfume. And I will say, there are moments of extravagant worship. It was extravagant when sister dumped out her coin purse with some pins and a bobby pin and a button. It was all she had. You know, God measures our generosity by our heart and by our obedience. And the widow's mite was more than anybody else gave. But Mary gave a whole year's worth of income. And the triumphal entry begins. This large crowd gathers. The crowd is made up of pilgrims. People have come from all over to Jerusalem for the Passover. That's why they're there. They've come to celebrate. And there are those who are already at Bethany, and people from Jerusalem who they went out to meet him. And John mentions this triumphal entry. John mentions that people wave palm branches. Now, frequently we've given palm branches here. And I was never, in my born-again Christian walk, part of King's, it's really the only church I ever really went to. We didn't pass out palms. But anybody ever see palm branches? We've done it for years. We've passed out palm branches. Palm fronds. Thank you, Pastor Karen. Not branches. That'd be really something like, here, everybody, here's your branch. Oh. That would be really something. Everybody's walking. They'd really talk about us if everybody had palm branches. Palm fronds. But when I grew up For a period of time, I was a Catholic before I became a Presbyterian, before I became a Buddhist, before I became a pagan, before I got born again. They gave palm fronds. Does anybody ever see palm fronds on Palm Sunday? You know what I enjoyed this year? Did anybody else see this? Anybody ever go Ash Wednesday? They don't do Ash Wednesday in the... Anybody know what Ash Wednesday is? Okay, maybe you can tell us later. But I know that it's like Ash Wednesday. They say Wednesday before and they put ashes on you. I don't know. It's a Catholic thing. But in the news, there was an overwhelming amount of people that had the black smudge cross across their forehead. I have never seen that in years prior. I just feel like there's a freedom coming to America. Come on, to begin to just declare the word of the Lord and to boldly pray. Man, if you go to Israel right now, you go to the Middle East, you will see on these 14-hour flights, you see Muslims get up and have their prayer in the center of the aisle. So I just started lifting my hands on these 14-hour flights. Come on, why not? Time for the church to come out of the closet. Everybody else did. They need to be delivered. These palm branches or palm fronds, it's a symbol of Jewish nationalism and hope for deliverance. Historical background on that is that 200 years before the Maccabean revolts. Anybody ever heard of the Maccabean revolts? History. I love history. I love ancient history. I love biblical history. That was from 167 to 160 BC. Jewish people rose up against this Greek rule under the leadership of Judas Maccabeus. And I do believe that's the story of Masada, which is a horrible story because they went to the stronghold of Masada. You can visit it today, and it's horrible because instead of being captured, they took their own lives, which is a wicked, wicked thing for them to do, and it brought reproach on them. You say, well, where do I see that in Scripture? You don't, unless you have a Catholic Bible, which we don't see as the... a part of the canon of Scripture, but 1 Maccabees 13:51, 2 Maccabees 10:7, and you can read Josephus and others about this Maccabean revolt. But one of the things they did was they had palm fronds and palm branches, and they would wave them around. It was a picture of hope, picture of victory, a picture of deliverance. It was a picture of revolution. I just feel like there's palm branches being waved around in the spirit all across America. Come on, somebody say amen. It's more than just like some greenery that they decided to embellish their service with. It was a sign of victory, a prophetic political declaration that God was moving and things were turning around. And not only a sign of victory and triumph, but they quoted Psalm 118. They quoted Psalm 118. I had you read it. Verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That psalm is a part of the halal psalms. Psalms that are traditionally recited at Passover. And they're psalms, let me see, 113 to 118. They're psalms that are recited by pilgrims and by Jews at that time because they're psalms about the deliverance of God's people out of the house of bondage, out of Egypt. And it's the Passover time. So if you need deliverance, you're believing God to do deliver you, just start reading Psalm 113 to 118. Read them out loud. Pray the psalms. Anybody that prays the word will have word-like results. You stand on God's word and you pray. You can pray these halal psalms about how God delivered the children of Israel. He's going to deliver you. Come on, somebody say, he's going to deliver me. How about make it the positive declaration? He has delivered me. Say it. He has delivered me. And so that's what Psalm 118 is. It's just so powerful. God's deliverance of the children of Israel. And they were sung during major Jewish feasts, especially Passover, but Pentecost, Tabernacles, those are the three main feasts. Traditionally, Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the Passover meal. Psalm 115 to Psalm 118 were sung after the meal. Wow. And it is most likely that Jesus and his disciples did the very thing at the Last Supper, the Passover meal. Most likely that's what they did. In fact, if you go and they say, and they went out and they sung a hymn, how many of you know that text? They finished and they went out and they sang a hymn, and he goes from there to the Garden of Eden. You can go and look at that. What hymn did they sing? They sang one of these right here. I made up a hymn on the way to church tonight. My wife was laughing at me. I said, it's a hymn. She says, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. She says, that's a country song. I said, it's not a country song. It's a hymn. Come on, somebody say it's a hymn. Okay. You want to hear it? Forget it. Let's move on. Praise God. We'll let heaven be the judge of that. The Lord knows my heart. They cried, Hosanna. Everybody say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna, which means save us, or Lord, save us. Hosanna comes from the Hebrew word that means, it's this phrase about being saved. It's a cry for salvation, a cry for deliverance. But in time, it ended up being praise, but it was really a cry for Hosanna. I mean, it was save me. Save me. Come on, somebody say, save me.
Save me.
We were driving in the winter a number of years ago in a Jeep Liberty, which are known to spin out of control. It's the least possible torque to the rear wheels of a Jeep Liberty cause you to spin wildly, just so you know. And I was driving with the evangelist, and for whatever reason, on the way to Talkeetna, I decided to step on it, and that three-cylinder or whatever it was, four-cylinder, downshifted on the ice. It spun, and we went out of control. There we are spinning on that straightaway before Talkeetna, out of control. And the lady in the back, we knew she was sanctified as we're about to crash into the embankment. She cried out, oh, Jesus, help. She was from the South. But she could have very well said, Hosanna! Because that's really what it means. All right. He rides a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 fulfilled. Now, if you weren't here this morning, I spoke about this. I think it's amazing that we can fulfill God's prophetic plan and not even know we're doing it. There's two disciples that are sent in Luke 19. Jesus gets a word of knowledge, or he gets a prophetic word. Go, there's a donkey, untie it, bring it over here. If someone asks you, which is amazing, if the owners ask you, what do you need? Why are you doing that? Say the Lord has need of it, which is interesting. Because he didn't say when the owners ask you, he said if, which is interesting to me if you think about that. God himself sends two people if the owners ask you. So there's this free will swirl here where the owners could or could not. I don't know, that's interesting. Started to get into predestination and all that. But they go, they untie the colt, the owner comes out and says, hey, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they're like, the owner's like, sweet. I mean, he doesn't say anything. We don't know. And it fulfills Zechariah 9. It's absolutely profound that God uses us to fulfill his plan and purpose. And many times we don't even know it, we're doing it. And something I said this morning, I think that's worth saying again, is that this donkey has never been ridden. And donkeys are wild. Donkeys are crazy. Some horses are crazy. Don't you ever trust a horse. No, I've known people that just walk behind like it's their dog. No, horses kick. And if you've ever been kicked or stepped on, you will never forget it. And you will never walk behind a horse like that again. You need to know animals. So donkeys are crazy. Come on, some of you used to be one. You know what some of you are. But... Oh, yes. Some of you might be married to him today. Father, in Jesus' name. If you're online and you're a donkey, you can be set free. As I said this morning, God brings peace on this donkey and Jesus rides the donkey. This is very unusual. He can bring order to your life. The disciples didn't understand. Look at verse 16. Come on, I'm just taking you through this step by step. Look at verse 16, John 12, verse 16. At first, the disciples didn't understand this. At first, they didn't understand it. But later, they did. Many times when you're going through things, you don't understand. And let me just tell you, if God was to explain everything to you, you probably still wouldn't understand. So just trust Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You must. I'll sing it again. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be. You must. Really good, really bad. Over here, really, really bad. Let's try it again. Trust and obey, for there's no other. Very good. To be happy in Jesus. Yeah, that has nothing to do with understanding. Many people argue and fight and moan and bellyache. How come this? How come that? Understanding you don't have to have understanding. You do have to obey. Trust Him. Obey Him. And the disciples they didn't understand until it all came to pass. Till it came to pass after He rose again, they said. Then they're like, oh, wow. Oh, Zechariah 9. And they're like, dude, did you have any idea you were fulfilling Zechariah 9? I said, no way, man. I didn't know. God used you to fulfill an ancient scripture. Whoa, that's heavy, bro. I know it, right? These are discussions and conversations that happen in my mind. All right. God's speaking to us. First thing I want to say, just got happy right now. I think I was happy before, but I just got hit with a wave of joy. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Is there anybody glad that He's on the throne and He's fulfilling His plan, His purpose, and you're an active part of it? Is there anybody excited about that? You're important to God. Come on, you're important to God. He could use you to fulfill prophecy, all the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Oh, the glory of the Lord. Oh, the glory. Oh, the glory. Oh, the glory of the Lord's going to, you know how the glory is going to cover the earth? It's not some mystic cloud. It's you carrying the gospel. It's missionaries preaching. It's you laying hands on the sick in every nation, in every tribe, in every tongue, in every village. You carrying God's glory. God's glory is carried on the shoulders of men. Can I get an amen? You used to read that and be like, what's that going to be like? And the glory would cover the earth. Whoa. Glory's carried on men and women. And there is some mystery about that. God speaking to us, God defines us not by our circumstances or what people want us to be. Jesus is the Messiah. He is completing the prophetic, bringing to fruition the prophetic word of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 here, which is absolutely profound, and I preached on it this morning. But there were those that didn't want Him to do that, didn't see Him as that. He's the King we didn't expect. The King that the disciples didn't expect. Fulfilling every jot and tittle. And He confronts His opposition. He confronts them. He literally provoked religious people in the religious system. Something I like doing. You know, you need to confront things. If you don't confront things, you will have the devil involved in your life. You'll have the devil involved in your home. You'll have the devil in your marriage. Confront stuff. I was confronted a number of times today. Anybody else been, you thought I was going to say like this month. No, like I'm confronted on a regular basis. The Lord loves me. Those whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And I'm corrected all the time. I wonder if sometimes the Lord gets tired, but he's training me. I'm a son. I'm his son. Is there any sons or daughters here? Everyone here is a son or a daughter, and he's gonna speak to you. He's gonna correct you. If you haven't been corrected, then you might be illegitimate. There's another way of saying that, and if it was a younger crowd in another state and nation, I would use that word, but I'm not going to in my own church. Lift your hands to heaven. There's no sense being rude for just being rude's sake. Illegitimate, you understand that? There are no illegitimate children, only illegitimate parents. And if you haven't been corrected, it might be that your relationship with the Lord needs to be kindled a little bit. Maybe your wood's wet. I'm not feeling the love over here, but I'm going to go over here. If your wood is wet, then you might not hear him correcting you in your foolishness, in your stupidity. I'm not saying to you, sister. Come on. I got to be careful when I lean on people and say your stupidity. Don't receive that. Okay. Jesus constantly confronts the opposition as something we do, and we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, and things constantly need to be confronted. Constantly need to be confronted. Again, the disciples did not understand, but later they did. I'm going to say it this way. Revelation follows obedience. Say that. Revelation follows obedience. If you're not obedient, don't expect any revelation. And any revelation that doesn't cause you to be awakened to the incredible truth and the joy of being obedient, any revelation that doesn't change you to become more like God isn't really revelation. It's not so that you can spout off a platitude in some small group or sound like intelligent when you're at your Starbucks Bible reading club. It's so that you could become more like Jesus, so that when people see you, actually your behavior, your countenance, your words, your deeds, everything you do points to Jesus. All the world was following him because he raised Lazarus from the dead. People will follow the Lord, will come to the knowledge of Christ when they see that someone like you who used to be a donkey is now got peace and joy and hope and patience. When people see you, they know what you used to be like, but now, look at him now. There must be a God because I know what he was like. My God, he was trouble. Peace. You know, my son sent me a picture. He's moved away about 5 weeks ago now. And we should have sent him sooner. It's just been such a joy. Oh, I love my wife. It's like amazing. It's like, there's nobody home. It's fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, but anybody else love your spouse? Can I get a witness? Oh, we miss our son, of course, and pray he comes back according to the plan and will of God when the timing is right. But he sent us a picture. And when I looked at the picture, I just thought, I laughed because that boy is shining. I'm talking joy, like joy unspeakable, full of glory. You could just tell like something's really exciting in his life. He's just kind of like, ta. There wasn't some sad-looking face. You know, when people look at your face, do they see Jesus? Now, there's weeping, there's sorrow, there's grief, clearly. And then it should turn back to joy. Now, revelation follows obedience. Our job is to reach the whole world. It's a king that didn't come to rule a city. He came to ruin the whole world. And they praise Jesus, and the praise frequently precedes breakthrough. I said praise precedes breakthrough. Would you lift your hands to heaven as Minister Micah comes to the keys for me? Thank you so much. Pastor Karen, do we need to fix anything? She's going to let me know. All right, lift your hands to heaven.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Lord, may we ever be like these who are around you, not letting rocks cry out. May we be those who wave the palm fronds of revolution and breakthrough and deliverance. May we ever have songs upon our heart that declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. May we be filled with hope and joy. May there be notable miracles manifested and released even tonight, like Lazarus. May there be expressions of worship that take place in our homes, like Mary and the alabaster box. May we live before you with complete abandon. Oh God. And may you use us, oh God, to confront that which is wrong and that which is in need of correction. May we be filled with joy and hope. We don't understand why certain things happen. We don't understand sometimes why we have to wait for 20 years for certain promises to come to fruition. We do know that 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years, and we know that you're good. We position ourselves tonight, and we say, Hosanna.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.